What's up, Conference USA fans, and welcome back to another episode of this USA Insider Podcast, the official podcast of Conference USA. I am back as your host, and as always, I feel like whenever I'm the host, Eric Jones joins me, and if you can't tell from this background, we are live from Mickey Dunn's Stadium, live from Kennesaw State. Sorry, I'm about to say another name from my hometown. I'm sorry. But in Kennesaw, Georgia, it's been beautiful weather today. Hopefully that keeps track for the rest of the week. We all know that Eric is a former baseball player, so this is his favorite time of the month. How are you excited for this tournament?
I am super, super excited. Jacked up to see these guys compete this week. We've had a really good year in baseball in Conference USA, one of the top mid-major RPI conferences in the country. Super excited to get things going. You know, first pitch tomorrow, 10 o'clock, 1:30 right after that, then 5 o'clock to finish up the day. Kennesaw State, our host this week, as you can see, playing in that finale tomorrow. So should be a really fun week.
So we have a different format this year where it's nine teams. We have pool of plays. We have three pools, pool A, B, and C. So tell us a little bit about this year's format.
I think this year and a lot of the conversation with the coaches was, you know, to really, you know, have your, you know, top teams be rewarded in postseason play. And I think we're going to see that this week for sure. We have pool A. You have your one seed, your six seed, and your nine seed. That'll be Jack State, Western Kentucky, and Middle Tennessee. Pool B, Liberty, La Tech, and San Houston as 2, 5, and 8. And then pool C to round it out, which is going to be a really fun one to watch. You got your Missouri State, DBU, and Kennesaw State, 3, 4, and 7. It's a unique format, but it seems like all the coaches really like it. They brought it to the table this past offseason. And I think, you know, we're going to learn stuff throughout the week that we may not have thought of. And strategically, how are coaches and teams going to go about, you know, utilizing their pitching staffs? And, you know, with this format, too, you're only going to get, you know, you get a minimum of 2 games and you get a max of 4. So, you know, those teams that do, you know, go on to win to play in the semifinals and the championship, they're really going to, you know, have a better chance at, you know, limiting the amount of pitchers they're using and have more rest time. You know, when we hope to get, you know, 3, maybe even 4 teams in the NCAA tournament, just to, you know, keep arms as fresh as they can. You know, we're game 55, 56 right now, pushing 60 games in a year. That's a lot of wear and tear on a lot of, you know, pitching arms. And we just want to keep those guys as fresh as possible going into regionals. So I think this is going to be a really, really fun format. You know, top three seeds are off day one, so we will not see them in action until Thursday. And Friday, they will finish up their second pool game. But we got, action starting tomorrow at 10 a.m. with Sam Houston and La Tech, which I'm already got circled. I think the pitching matchup is going to be a lot of fun. Declan Dahl, our newcomer of the year, going against Ryan Peterson, a first-teamer that, you know, there were a bunch of pitchers that were in the mix for pitcher of the year, him definitely being one of them. This matchup tomorrow is going to be a lot of fun. And then going down to Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky.
100 miles of hate.
Yep. No, it's a nice little rivalry, you know, on day one here. It's going to be a really fun series. It's back and forth over the regular season. I'll be super interested to see how that goes. You know, Middle Tennessee's played some tough opponents this year and played, you know, pretty tough against those guys. I know Jack State, they had them, I believe, twice almost. On the brink of, you know, they were close to winning that series down in Jack State this year. They'll get another chance at them. But Western Kentucky, too, you got guys, Elaine Arroyos, their first baseman. He's been really good, but really under the radar this year. Cale Frost has been really good down the stretch. So excited to see their bats. And they always got a good pitching staff as well. And then to round out the day on Wednesday, you got the host, Kennesaw State, hosting DBU. It's going to be a good time. DBU played out here earlier this year. A lot of offensive fireworks. We're probably going to see it some more tomorrow. I know you're probably going to have your Friday guys, your top pitchers on the mound, but don't be surprised if we see a little action out here where we are, like we almost did earlier.
I literally almost got hit by a ball, so yikes. Yeah.
Good times.
See me back out here.
But, I think this is going to be a super fun format this year. You know, you got top team from each pool will advance. So 1 through 3, for example, all go 2-0. They're automatically moving on. And then from that point on, let's say you have 4, 5, and 6, all go 1-1. The tiebreaker is, you know, the highest seed. So if you're tied with, if the 4 and 5 and 6 are tied, the 4 moves on based on higher seed. So that also played, you know, the regular season ending in the final standings really played a big part in this. And I know it came down to the final day of action in the regular season. So, yeah, super excited for the week.
Not to put you on the spot, but we also have Thursday and Friday games. You went through Wednesday, but just between these Thursday and Friday games, what one matchup just really sticks out to you?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think, like I kind of mentioned a minute ago, I think that Jack State Middle Tennessee game is going to be interesting to see. You know, Jack State, obviously regular season champs, outstanding year, 42 wins right now. You know, but that Middle Tennessee series was tough for them, and they showed Jack State showed resilience and came back and won those games that they needed to. But that series easily could have flipped. Middle Tennessee could have been going back home with a series win in that series. I think that's going to be interesting to watch, especially with Middle Tennessee already having a game under their belt. You know, maybe some, I don't know, any postseason jitters, got those out of the way, and you got Jack State coming in. I think that's going to be a really fun matchup to see. And then, of course, you have, you know, Missouri State, who just played here this past weekend. So they got a good lay of the land. They took a series from Kennesaw State. KSU took the series finale in that one, which was a big one for them as well. But again, I think that's going to be super fun to watch Thursday night. It should be a pretty good crowd here too. I know, you know, as the host, they get to pick what times they want to play. And of course, they're going to pick the late game, get as many fans out as possible. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I look at all these games. I mean, it's going to be a competitive week, no doubt. I think all nine of these teams were very deserving of getting a chance to play in the postseason. And it's going to be super fun to watch. So, yeah.
I know Eric has been saying all week how this one is probably one of the best tournaments. I feel like as far as RPI, I mean, all of our top three teams have really good RPIs. Yeah. And just going into this week, I think DBU is on our winning streak right now. Or, yep. You know, that they had a really good weekend against Jack State this past weekend. Yep. And that could really facilitate them into this week. We all know how that, you know, just winning ways goes, yep. Especially catching fire at the right time. So yeah. I think DBU can also be, of course, as always, somebody to look out for. But, hey. Five, we got La Tech. You can never sleep on La Tech either.
No, I think those top five teams are extremely tough. And I know it was big for that one seed and not, you know, nothing against, you know, WKU in their season, but, you know, it was big for that one seed to get that spot because you got Liberty and La Tech. Liberty's a two seed, and they're playing a La Tech team that just took two out of three from them on their home turf. So I know nobody's taking anybody lightly, even Missouri State DBU. DBU took that series in Dallas against Missouri State, and that's an old Missouri Valley conference rivalry too. So we'll get to kind of see those teams go at it again, and it's going to be a good time. I think, you know, you talked about DBU a little bit and the way that they are playing at the end of the year, and no one wants to play them. Like they're a well-coached team. Everyone knows about Dan Heefner. He always does an incredible job. They've been to 11 straight regionals. Trying to go for 12 this year, but it's looking like they might have to win the tournament this week to do so. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Louisiana Tech's got, I think, some really good arms that can kind of propel them, especially in these first couple pool games, especially. But I think, yeah, if their bats are hot, I mean, if you're hitting this week, you're going to find ways to win games, and pitching at the back end of games is going to be really crucial too. You know, we'll get to see some of these really good. Jack State's got a really good closer. Like really got like two closers almost. Liberty's got a really deep bullpen as well. So super excited to just watch the different styles of baseball this week. And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Super excited for all the home runs because we definitely saw a bunch of them today during practice. Oh, yeah. With all nine teams. So I'm definitely excited for that and all of the screaming and shouting that happened during practice. They're super stoked to be here. We talked about all of our games. Let's get into our postseason awards. We have Tanner Marsh from Liberty, the junior shortstop. He won player and defensive player of the year this year.
Yeah, no, he was incredible this year. And there's another award that was really up for grabs. You know, this is probably one of the first years where it felt like, you know, we didn't have that one guy that was just, you know, Ryan Weidman last year, that type of, you know, those numbers and whatnot. So I think, you know, Tanner Marsh, obviously very deserving of this award. You know, he's a leader on the field. He's their leadoff man. For Liberty and a top two team in the conference too. Defensive player of the year, he's always making highlight plays. Since he, you know, came out to Lynchburg, he's just, you can tell just his attitude and the way he goes about himself. He's a player of the year type of guy, and I'm happy for him, happy he got this award. And I'm excited to watch him play this week for sure.
Pitcher of the year went to Ben Blair. This is the second consecutive season that, you know, the same school won both player and pitcher of the year. And you already gave some kudos to Ben Blair as we were talking earlier, and he was very deserving of this pitcher of the year this year.
Yeah, no, Ben Blair, I think, you know, coming into the year, we all knew his name. Every, you know, coach, everybody around here knew he's going to be a dude, and he's going to be their Friday night guy no matter what. I think, you know, he's a top, pretty sure top MLB prospect. He'd probably go in the top couple rounds of the draft this summer. So, you know, I think, and, you know, we talked about it, and I'm transparent, you know, he struggled near the end of the year. And there were some other guys up for the award, too, that, you know, probably could have had a good case for it as well. I think Ben Blair, in this, you know, my opinion here, I think you give me any guy in the conference, I want to roll with that guy.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to put you on the spot that.
Ryan Peterson at Sam Houston, also incredible year. Declan Dahl, again, like down the stretch, too, incredible guys. And, you know, Ben Blair's got really good stuff. And, yeah, he struggled at the end of the year, but he's been really, really good in this league for a long time now. And, yeah, I think he's a good dude. He just, was awesome. And, you know, shout out to Ben. He had a really good season this year.
You keep mentioning Declan Dahl, and he was our newcomer of the year. I mean, what, 7-4 overall mark. He ranks third in CUSA with 78.2 innings and 96 strikeouts. So you already have high praise for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a top five, I think, in most pitching categories in this conference. I saw Louisiana Tech post about him yesterday. You know, this guy is legit. He's your prototypical Friday night guy. He's, you know, going to live in the, you know, low to mid-90s with his fastball. And he goes out there, and he's a workhorse. He competes at a high level. And I think, you know, this for them to have the year they kind of had, kind of a roller coaster ride, for them to go on a Friday night and get, you know, good work out of him. I think near the end of the year, he was averaging almost 7 innings each night out. And, you know, throwing up a lot of zeros for this Bulldog pitching staff was big for them. That's big for anybody on a Friday night to be able to, like, push your bullpen back a little bit throughout the weekend. And this guy was certainly a joy to watch. Unfortunately, I haven't seen him pitch yet in person, but I will get to see him tomorrow morning in person, and I'm super excited to see that matchup again, like I said. But big kudos to Declan Dahl, well-deserving of Newcomer of the Year.
Jackson Pate for Jacksonville State was a tremendous season for him. Talk a little bit about this freshman.
Yeah, no, he's been a kind of a spark plug for this team, and, you know, just a guy that, like, hey, another leadoff hitter, too, in their lineup. He's a young buck. He's redshirt freshman this year and hit for high average. Got on base. You know, this guy was getting on base and early and scoring often for this Jacksonville State lineup and a regular season champion team. So, you know, it's always fun to see. You don't see many freshmen in the mid-major level much anymore. It's a lot of the JUCO guys, a lot of guys transfer in, a lot of veteran leadership, especially on this team. So for him to do what he did, super impressive year. And again, excited to watch him this week out here. So,
Jack State also won the Coach of the Year for Steve
Beezer.
Oh my gosh, I want to mispronounce that name as well. For Steve Beezer. And then Ryan Kramer was also the Assistant Coach of the Year. What, Jack State had their 40 wins for the first time since 1995. So just an amazing season for them overall.
Yeah, it was, especially the way last year ended. I think everyone just kind of knew that this team was going to be good. And especially if Coach Beezer could bring everyone back, which he just about did. Mm-hmm. He brought basically his old infield back. A lot of his, I think 60-some-odd% of his production from last year back. But I got it, like, what he did in the portal with his pitching staff. You know, he had Steven Cash from last year, but guys like Eli Pillsbury, Bo Bryans, like, they've had a very established rotation this year, and it has not changed. So just big on him for being able to keep these guys, especially at our mid-major level. It's not easy to do these days. 40-plus wins is not, again, not an easy thing to do. So excited to see that for them. Very well deserving of this award. He kind of ran away with it there in the end. It was kind of a known deal, regular season champ. And, excited to see what they can do out here this week and kind of prove to the country that this is a legit tournament contending team and a team that could really go make a good run in a super regional and I think in Omaha as well.
Where are some people should watch out for this week as we get into games tomorrow?
Yeah, I think you look at guys like Shaden Krause with DBU. He's a big masher for that team. And not even to mention, too, Luke Pettit, who, you know, kind of burst onto the scene this year as an offensive dude all of a sudden. You know, he's been a pitcher the last couple of years. I know he went down with an injury with his arm, but he's been DH for DBU, and he's been absolutely raking. So for those guys, I love watching them play, and I think you pick anyone in the Missouri State lineup I mean, those guys are physical dudes. We'll see them out here tomorrow again, or I guess Thursday, sorry. We'll see them out there. Just a physical bunch. They're always known for hitting. Their offensive numbers as a team, incredible stuff. So excited to watch those guys. And you look at Lane Arroyos, like I mentioned earlier, Western Kentucky, real under the radar. Hit for high average, getting on base, you know, just doing it all the ways possible on the offensive side at the plate for this team, this WKU team. So, again, a team that kind of flew under the radar too. Excited to watch them play. And, yeah, I mean, there's – I can go down this list all day and talk about everybody. Yeah, there's so many good good players in this league, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Catch everybody that Eric just said this week and several other of our members on the all-conference team that gets into action tomorrow. All of our Pool Bs will play at 10 a.m. Pool A will be at 1:30 p.m. Weather impending and no, you know, delays or anything involved. 1:30 p.m. for Pool A, and Pool C games will all be at 5 p.m. And what, 11 a.m. semifinals?
Yep. 2:30.
And then our championship game on Sunday is at 1 p.m. Eastern, not Central.
All times Eastern.
Yes.
Yep.
All of our pool play to semifinals will be on ESPN Plus, and our championship game will be on CBS Sports Network. So please check that out all of this week. That's a wrap for us here on the CUSA Insider Podcast. As always, follow us on social, Instagram and X at CUSA Insider Pod. You know, YouTube, check us out every week. We post. No worries on that. And then what? Apple Music, Spotify, and Amazon Podcast. I haven't done that in a while, but we'll see you guys next week as we'll, you know, recap everything that happened in Kennesaw, Georgia. See you next week.